Yeah, give me a beer while you're up there. You guys want a beer?
Yeah, I'd like one.
I'll go get one.
All right.
This is purely for medicinal purposes. We usually do not start drinking until after the show.
What you gonna play now? Bobby, I don't know. But whatsoever I play, it's got to be funky.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
What's going on, everybody? This is Pac-Man Polar Bear from Sarcastic Gamer, and you're listening to the Trophy Horse Podcast. Whee!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 40 of Trophy Horrors. I'm your host, Tricky Mick. Alongside with me, Hard Rocking Guy.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Hard Rocking Guy here, talking to you in English, because apparently some people don't understand Spanish. But very excited to be recording. So,
also with us, Titanic Wang.
Oh, what is up, guys? It's a lovely day in South Dakota. It was a nice 78 degrees. Unlike some other people I heard on Twitter today saying they were dealing with quite the heat wave.
After last week's episode, were you fully satisfied after recording?
Yes, but I did listen to last week's podcast, and I didn't realize when you guys were talking about a different topic, I was reading comments under the Ninja Guide N with move support, and I thought I was on mute, but evidently while you guys are talking, I was laughing, and you guys were talking about the Ninja Gaiden move deal, and I was reading, it was the comments under Infamous, the vampire add-on.
Right.
And right underneath the comments, someone said, oh, this add-on is freaking bullshit. Infamous has been based on science, and this add-on throws it all off.
Okay.
And I was reading this comment battle, and that's why I was laughing, was because these people were fighting how Infamous was based on science and was totally plausible, and these five other people are like, no, it's not.
Wait, the Infamous was based on science?
Evidently, I must have missed that part.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah, jumping off a tall building and not breaking a single bone is
science. That's science.
So anyone, yeah, you hear me laughing during this section? That's why I was laughing, was reading those comments and was giggling.
All right.
It's all for science.
And also with us, we have Moonshiner.
Que ondas, me llamo es Moonshiner. Tiene trophies, cabrones.
Yeah, tortillas and enchiladas and all that stuff.
Yeah, little asado, maybe, you know.
Guacamole.
Yeah, take a little of that. You'd figure Tricky'd know all this by now.
Yeah, you'd be surprised what Tricky doesn't know. So
his anti-Spanish countdown.
Me hablo no hispano.
All right, let's move on to updated trophy count. I am currently level 18 with a trophy count of 3,053 and a plaque count of 24.
Trophy count says 2011 on my end.
Yes,
that's what I see too.
That's because Mr. Hard Rock is trying to fuck with me like Donnie, but I caught it before I said it.
I'd like to put a movement on the board, though. I would like to have platinum count and then child's game platinum count.
Those
two separate categories.
You know what?
I can fix that right away. Hold on one second.
Next week, we will give the official count of how many children platinums I have.
That would be 23 actual reputable ones, one.
No. All right. And Hard Rock, what are you looking at?
I'm looking at a trophy count of 3,405, the same thing as last week, part of the same thing that I've had for the past couple of weeks. Platinum is 24.
All right. And Mr. Titanic Wang?
Mr. Wang?
Yep, still level 15. I think I only got one trophies since last week, 1974 and then 8 platinums.
Good man.
And Mr. Moonshiner?
Currently level 19 with 3,046 trophies and 26 platinums.
Let's move on to what we were playing real quick. Moonshiner, what have you been playing?
Well, I caught a lot of shit for playing Monopoly Streets all night Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently that was a big hot topic.
Yeah, that bothered a few folks. right now, I just busting out the backlog. You may or may not read about it on Proven Gamer here in a day or two. playing Heavy Rain and then Street Fighter 3 Third Strike, which is awesome if you like getting your ass kicked.
You do like to kick some ass in that game.
Yeah, I'm really good at it too, let me tell you. I think I'm like 1 in 10 online last night. It was horrible.
Oof. Good man.
All right, Mr. Wang, what have you been playing?
Oh, I've been playing a lot this week. Borderlands, went back to Modern Warfare 2, played a little bit of that Hard Rock, been loving that. So Black Ops got shelved for a while. Then I've been playing Left 4 Dead 2, been loving that. And then I went and ordered Left 4 Dead Game of the Year Edition. Oh, that Left 4 Dead series, I'm totally digging. And I bought Civilization. Yeah, just as addicting as it ever was. And I've been trying to finish up Gears of War this week, and hopefully I'll have that finished up by the end of the week.
All right, and Mr. Hard Rock?
I have just been playing mainly Team Fortress 2 out on Steam. That's pretty much what I've been playing all the time. I played a little bit Modern Warfare 2 with Mr. Wang. I think that's pretty much about it. I've just been playing, like, multiplayer games.
You guys never went back and played that Borderlands DLC?
No, because we were waiting for somebody else in the party, and that person never showed up, so.
Yeah, I got asked, and then I'd had friends over at my house, and then everyone was like, let's play Texas Hold'em. So that was another game I played. I played High Stakes Poker, and there's still people playing that online. I was surprised.
Yeah, some of those trophies are... people are never going to get Royal Flush one.
Royal Flush one will be the one out. I have that one and four of a kind to get yet.
I wonder if you get the Royal Flush one, if the Straight Flush one would pop too.
I'm always wondering if you're ever going to play a game just for the fact that you're just going to play it and not have to worry about trophies.
Well, come on. I'm waiting for a lot of games to come out. I can't wait for Arkham City. I can't wait for Uncharted 3. You know, I really want to go back and play the God of War HD collection. It's just right now, there's not a lot of games coming out that I want to play, so I'm playing bullshit games right now.
Mm-hmm.
We should have a poker night there, Tricky, if you got that game.
You know, I tried hosting a poker night several times, and just nobody ever shows up.
I would show up.
I wonder why.
You know, I think it is because a lot of people overlook the game. I see a lot of people that play Texas Hold'em, they'd rather play Texas Cheat'em than they do High Stakes.
See, I got 100% in that, and it's Texas Hold'em, but not real Texas Hold'em, if that makes any sense.
That makes perfect sense.
Well, you cheat in the game, so it's not just cards and strategy, it's who can hit the X button faster, basically.
All right, and I've been playing, what have I been playing this week?
Transformers.
Yes, I started playing Transformers. I put that aside after like 3 hours. I also picked up another game. I don't remember what the hell it was. Oh, Saints Row 2, but that doesn't have trophies, so I'm not playing it. No, I'm just kidding.
Of course.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm not surprised.
I'm about 25% through that game. I figured I'd play Saints Row 2 before I pick up Saints Row the Third. So I don't know if the stories can coincide, but I figured why not play it. I'm also playing a little bit of Rock Band, trying to get ready for Extra Life, because I'm going to be doing the Endless set list again for the marathon. All right, moving on to our first topic of the day. As we recently reported, the PlayStation 3 had received a price cut of $50. Stemming from that, Sony has reported that their sales are up 65% since the price cut.
In 1 week? Wow, that's amazing. It's just like all of a sudden sales have just skyrocketed or something like that, so...
I was just like, I fully agree with you, sir. That is a true statement.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no one can argue that point. But is it any surprise? Price goes down, more people buy it. That's how it works.
I bet a lot of people maybe whose system died and then they got a 360 simply because it was cheaper at the time. And now that it got cheaper, everyone ran out to buy one.
But at this point, I mean, if you were going to buy a PS3, don't you think you would have bought one by now?
No, there's still people out there who just haven't bought one yet.
Yeah, you're talking to a guy who just bought a 360. Just bought one. That thing's been out for what, 6 years?
But didn't you have one before?
It broke.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You had a 360, it broke, and you just recently bought another one. But I'm talking about like the first time owner of a PS3. Don't you think by this time, you know, everybody that's bought one is going to buy one?
No. No, there's still people out there, trust me. There's still people out there who only have one console or one console for this generation, and they're just waiting. You know, they're waiting for maybe a price drop like this, or they're maybe waiting for something else.
Well, they had a spike happen when Gran Turismo came out, I remember. So maybe a lot of these people were waiting for Twisted Metal finally to hit the 3, and it's coming, and this is just a great time to grab one.
Well, they're going to have to wait a little while for it, but we'll get to that in a minute. Also from this, the European PS3 sales are at 22 million consoles sold. Is that impressive to you guys, or you think that number is a little low, a little high? How do you guys feel about
impressive.
That?
It's impressive. I mean, 22 million, sales. You know, 22 million consoles over there in Europe, that's impressive, no matter how you say it.
Well, it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, hell, half my damn friend list is UK or Europe anyway,
Well, yeah, no doubt, mine too.
Yeah, because the other thing you have to remember is that, in certain parts of the world, the 360 never really took off. I mean, we're really the only country where, it pretty much took off. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't also Europe the ones that were suffering from the whole LG, Sony, lawsuit battles?
Yeah.
So that could be a reason why, it's only at 22 million at this point.
Could be.
Well, with that spike of sales and stuff, it kind of looks like to me everyone has kind of forgotten about the old PSN being down for a month. Doesn't seem like it's affecting it anymore.
Or you know what? It could be everybody's buying back their PS3. They sold it.
And that's a very good point.
All right. Going from good news to bad news. A recent report has come out that a feature that a lot of gamers have been asking for probably is never coming to the PS3. And, of course, I'm talking about cross-game chat.
Never coming.
It's not coming. I'm pretty sure we're using our cross-game chat right now.
Yeah.
Cross-game chat would have been nice, but I really never understood the whole outcry for it. I mean, is it a feature that's a make or break on a console?
For this generation, it might be. I mean, it's just about convenience. People like to be able to be, especially this generation, everybody wants to be social. Everybody wants to talk to the other person. They want to play with the other person. But then, of course, you have the times where, you and your best friend want to talk, but you're not playing the same game. Why? Your buddy's playing Modern Warfare, and you're, over here playing, Barbie Horse Adventures like Tricky. So, you want to talk to the person. You want to be social with them. And it always pissed off a lot of people for the fact of that,
But see,
cross-game chat never came to the PS3, and that's something that they've always wanted.
But see, as speaking from a personal experience, because I love the stories of games. I love listening to the stories. I mean, even when I was playing Green Lantern, it's a bullshit game, but I wanted to hear the story. And, I don't know who said it, but somebody recently said it in an article that they never want a cross-game chat because they don't want to be, wrapped up in the game. And all of a sudden, somebody hits you on the PSN going, oh, my dog just learned a new trick today.
Yeah, dude, but okay, but here's the thing. You really don't play too many multiplayer games. That's the thing. There's a lot of people out there that – what's the main game that they play? Modern Warfare, Battlefield, other stuff like that. Online games, are the people that mainly wanted it.
But those games have – chat programs within your party. I mean, okay.
Not all of them.
No, see, the biggest deal the biggest deal with this group chat, like where Hard Rock's coming from, is that if me and Hard Rock get into a party together, it sucks when people leave and go and you're constantly muting people, so I simply can only hear Hard Rock. If I'm in a party chat, like I'm the 360, it automatically blocks everyone out, and I'm only talking to the people in my party. And this person's complaining that he doesn't want to be interrupted in the middle of a game. Well, you have to have a party started in order for someone to even join what you're doing. So it's not like they can just jump into what you're doing. They're blocked out unless you actually start a room. That's how it works on the 360 anyway.
But now, okay, I understand what you're saying about, you know, the party chat. But if you're playing a multiplayer game like Call of Duty, don't you want to be able to hear the other people?
Not likely, no.
Because no, isn't the whole point of, you know, a group chat in like just use, for example, Uncharted 2. The ability to hear who's on your side so you can, you know, say, okay, this guy's coming up behind you, this guy's sniping, this guy's camping. Isn't that integral part of the talk?
That would be awesome if that's what actually happened. What you're saying would be great if that's how people actually played. But with randoms, that isn't how they play.
Dude, and the other thing you have to realize is this. Like, let's say it's like that. Like, let's say me and Moonshiner and Titanic Wang are playing Modern Warfare. Let's say we're doing this. Then all of a sudden you want to join in on the talk that we're having. Okay, you're not going to be able to do that unless you come into the game, which you said you don't play first person shooters. You know, with the cross game chat, you would still be able to talk to us over the PSN. You'd be able to play your game and while talking to us. And we could still be able to keep doing that, oh, look, there's a guy on your left. There's a guy behind you. There's a guy camping here.
Yeah, but my point is, would you want me to interrupt your conversations?
No, that's the point that I'm trying to tell you is that it's like that. You know, you have to remember something. When somebody sends you a chat invite, you don't have to accept it.
Yes, mm-hmm. I'm very aware of that with you.
Yeah. You don't have to accept it. No. The point I'm trying to make is that you don't have to accept it. You know, you don't have to talk to those people. It would just be more convenient that, like, oh, you know what? You got to talk to us three, or you want to talk to us three. Hey, you know what? We're playing this game. You don't have to boot up this game and join our squad just to talk to us.
Yeah, I got you.
I mean, I understand why people want it. It's really a non-issue for me. I don't care if I have it or not.
I mean, the way they're talking is possibly that, you know, with the outcry. Actually, before we even go into that, let's explain why they said that it's never coming. They said that the PS3, you know, it's a RAM issue with the PS3, where the RAM in the PS3 is used for games. They physically can't do cross-game chat because the RAM is already being used, and they can't dedicate RAM just to cross-game chat. That's why they're saying it's never going to come to the PS3. But with the public outcry of it, this is almost like an automatic thing that has to be in the PS4 if the PS4 ever gets launched.
Yeah, and this is what they're going to do. Don't buy the cheaper PS3, fellas. Buy the new, more expensive PS4 that you don't even need yet.
It could be.
I think that's a huge reason why the Vita's got it. So people who have the Vita kind of maybe have the option. Because surely the Vita will log in and have access to your friends list. I don't know. It's not exactly. I mean, it'd be no more cross-game chat than what we're doing right now. But I think that's. Do you think that's why they put it in the Vita? Was kind of be like, well, you can chat this way even though the PS3 doesn't allow it?
Couldn't you? They said that the Vita could be used as a controller for your PS3. Couldn't they? Couldn't you use the Vita in a backwards way and use cross-game chat on the PS3 by using the Vita as your controller?
If you use it backwards, the controls are going to be the opposite.
Oh, good joke. You got it.
Nice.
But, I mean, isn't it possible you could use it in that way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at the same time, why not just use Skype or anything like that?
Yeah.
All right, moving on to our next topic. Sony, it's rumored that Sony might be launching something called the Sony Entertainment Network coming soon. This is going to be Sony's way of lumping all of their digital products together, which includes Curiosity, the video on demand service. I really don't know how else to explain this other than
you did it pretty good right there, dude.
Well, I mean, it to me this doesn't make sense to why try to lump it together. What's wrong with just leaving it the way it is?
Well, what do they mean by lumping it together? Like putting it all under the same tab, like they did the video thing, or
no,
what?
No. This is this is going to be Sony saying, okay, instead of, it's rumored that instead of logging on to the quote-unquote PlayStation Network, you're going to log on to the Sony network. and which is going to include Kurasi, the video on demand, Movies Unlimited, you know, all this stuff. And so instead of logging on to the PlayStation Network, you're going to log on to the Sony Entertainment Network.
Yeah, I think what they're going to try to use this for is not just on the PlayStation, but they're going to try to market this to other stuff. That way, in case you want to use Curiosity, in case you want to use some of these other features that you can only get on the PlayStation, maybe you can get them now on your Sony Bravia TV or something like that.
Or on your tablets.
Or on your tablets or something like that. You know, it could be that that's the way that they're trying to market it now.
What if you have an HP tablet? Will it work on that?
I'm going to assume no.
Okay.
I mean, to me, this is really like, I won't say it's like a non story, but it's, you know, I don't understand why Sony does these type of things. Why not just leave it the way it is?
Well, if you can separate the two different entities on two different networks, it's going to make the PSN flow maybe faster. Maybe downloads won't take 3.5 days, you know, and then if the people that want to stream movies or what have you can do it on a separate network. Do it on the same machine. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, do I think that it's something that's necessary? No, not necessarily. But maybe in the long run, it'd be something that's good for the gamer and make the downloading quicker and make the lag on the Madden NFL better or something.
Nah. Could be something like that. It could be them just reworking everything.
All right. Moving on to a story that I know is going to get a lot of groans. PlayStation Home is relaunching this fall with a question system and themed districts.
What's your PlayStation Home?
Oh, yeah, whatever, guys. PlayStation Home is good.
All right.
Dude, I've had bowling nights at home and had a blast before, so.
Yeah, but you also had chicken fight nights on your prom.
Yeah, and we all know what I did on their hockey table later, so.
Oh! Touché, touché. All right. Basically, what this is this they're going to basically revamp all the areas. Outside of the central hub, there are going to be four main areas: the Action District, the Sports Walk, the Adventure District, and Pier Park. And basically, each area is going to cater to a certain type of gamer. Case in point, the Action and Adventure Districts will both cater to hardcore and action adventure fans, respectively. Why Sports Walk will be obviously for sports nuts. Pier Park.
Did you say sexual hub or central hub?
Central.
I'm actually waiting to see which part the red light district is going to be in.
Yeah, you too. Off. I could have sworn I heard sexual hub.
No, see, sensual hub is what I was hearing. Sensual.
Sensual. Happy ending, please.
Also, Pier Park will be the interactive theme park, which will have rides and games and such. This basically big update will piggyback a core client update arriving this fall, which Sony hopes will help get players into games and content much quicker than before.
Where's the casino they talked about a while ago? I've been waiting for that to start.
I don't know about a casino, but they do have poker tables.
Yeah, I know, but a while back they were talking about a casino and actually integrating a fake currency into Home. And that's what I've been waiting for. And it's like they still haven't. I don't know if that's something they're, you know, not wanting to put into Home because, you know, it's gambling. And I suppose they'll have everyone down their necks about making their children gamblers. But that's what I'm personally waiting for is a casino.
You know what? To me, this update sounds like they're finally going to make PS Home what they wanted to make PS Home to be, like, 4 years ago or whatever it is when it first came out.
Well, isn't Home still in technically a beta form?
No. Yeah. No, it's no.
Well, it's still labeled beta, I believe.
Is it really?
I signed up originally and visited it one time and I have not been back. So maybe this will get me there. I don't know.
The one aspect of Home that I do that intrigues me is that if Proven Gamer ever starts doing gamer nights, what we can do is say everybody get together in Home, the central location, I can start up a party game and we can launch straight into that game. I've done that with Buzz. I've done that with another game. I can't remember. I think it was Burnout Paradise, where everybody launched into it and everybody was together. That kind of aspect I liked about Home.
See, you must be, it must be something with that game because I've tried meeting people for Black Ops in it and It never
doesn't work.
It does not keep the party together.
Well, I remember back when Home first came out with that option, a lot of games weren't supported. So maybe it was back then when those games weren't supported.
Well, that could be possible. Then again, Buzz is a first party deal too, so that game could be literally built in, you know.
Right.
Working real well with that, but yeah, it's
all right. Well, Home is basically, you know, Sony's pseudo way of, you know, working into the Xbox Live. I don't know if it really ever is going to live up to the hype.
They got a long way to go if they're going to work it. I mean, basically, they're taking what Live does and is putting it in a much larger scale, but the larger scale, it just doesn't work. Like, yeah. Jumping from game to game on the Xbox, creating a party, I haven't had it fail once. Yet. I will say yet. But, yeah, it's like the Home thing, it's failed more than it has succeeded with that stuff, other than doing, like, getting together and doing a bowling alley. That's the one biggest thing with Home was I had a party of four people. We met, we talked, oh, we'll bullshit about this. So we got into a chat party. We had to wait for an alley to open up. I shouldn't have to do that. This isn't real life. I shouldn't have to wait for a lane to open up so me and my virtual friends can go bowl.
You know, I don't even want to speak on Home anymore. It's just until they really improve it, I'm not going to be back. And because honestly, Home to me now just seems like Sony's moneymaker. It's go in, buy the stuff for your avatar, but there's really not much you could do with your avatar. So why am I going to go and spend, you know, 50 cents on a virtual couch and $1 on a TV and this kind of paint? It's just, it doesn't make sense to me.
Now, if their trophy room came available, would you be interested in inviting people over and seeing all your hard-earned trophies?
You know,
he would love it. He would absolutely love it.
No, you know what? You know the one feature that I want in Home that was talked about that never came to reality was the ability to put a movie into my PS3, invite you over to my virtual apartment, and all of us be able to watch that movie through that TV.
No, yeah. No. The one feature that I always wanted from PlayStation Home was the one where they said that you're going to be able to display like certain awards and certain stuff that you had like on your walls. I remember they talked about that one time.
They said never that you could have like a trophy room.
Kind of something like that.
Red Dead Redemption had a few.
A few what?
Yeah,
a few like in-home items.
Yeah, when you got a certain achievement or trophy in this case.
Yeah, because I forget. I think I had an outfit, a hat or something that I was playing Red Dead Redemption and it popped up and I unlocked an item for my avatar in Home.
Yeah.
I mean that's kind of cool. But, you know, there's actually a trophy in Buzz Quiz World, I think it is. Yeah, it's Buzz Quiz World. There's actually a trophy in their trophy list that says launch a game for PlayStation Home. I think the main problem, you know, and I said I didn't want to talk about Home anymore. I think the biggest thing about PlayStation Home, what killed it was everybody wanted it so much that they wound up launching it well before it was ready.
Yeah, but that's a thing, you know, that everybody fails to realize. It was still in beta. Yeah, it's still in beta 4 years later, but it's still in beta. I mean, you know, Home to me, in my opinion, just hasn't worked out the way Sony wanted it to, because they want to do so much, but they haven't figured out a way how to do it yet. You know, with the constant updates and the reloading of the places that you have to keep doing over and over and over again, it's too much of a hassle.
Yeah, that and back to a trick he's talking about watching movies with people. I kind of wanted that as well, but the crazy thing is, have you guys ever tried the online features with Blu-rays, trying to party up with people?
Oh, the Blu-ray Live?
Yeah, where each freaking movie company has their own name and login. You have to create a whole separate one for each one.
I remember when The Dark Knight launched, they had a Blu-ray Live night.
Where... Oh, dude, I was on there that night.
So was I.
Oh, and he would not answer a single one of my questions.
Nope.
The only thing I watch on my PlayStation is porn.
It's corn?
Yeah, corn too, but porn also.
Oh, okay.
Moving on to our next topic, I'm just going to ask you guys a question and get your answers. How interactive would you want your game console to be?
Like
how?
Are you asking if I want my PlayStation to be able to read me like a book?
Yes.
No, because if it looked at your trophy list, it'd classify you as a pedophile.
No, he didn't.
You know what?
I'm probably just as guilty, but
that's exactly what I was going through my head. It's like, I'm not the only one here with the hand of Montana Platinum, okay?
She's 18. Yeah. She's old enough.
Yeah. In defense of some of my crappy games, is I do have a five-year-old that likes to play. You know, that's why I have like Ben 10 with 10% completed. That game's atrocious.
Plus, no, me and my wife like to do stuff in the living room. I wouldn't want to say no on what I do to her.
Exactly. No, it's interactive enough. I don't need them to gather information on me or know me.
Or I don't need to be like kissing my wife and then my PlayStation taps me on the shoulder.
It wouldn't be too bad if you started kissing your wife and like put some Barry White on or something, you know, dim the lights, help the mood, light a few candles.
Getting back to the topic.
And then a trophy pops.
That's right.
You earned a trophy. Shit.
All right, during a panel discussion at Gamescom, a couple people asked, you know, about the future consoles, and they said that they want they're looking to have your system possibly track your players' emotions. It's also said that it's possible they wanted to start reading your heartbeat to see when you're excited, when you're, you know, depressed, when you're happy, when you're sad.
We did this already and it failed.
Does the NSA want to listen into our cross game chat?
Probably.
Your blood pressure is a little high, sir, and also you're about a quart low on oil.
I mean, is this really where we're going with video game consoles now?
Well, the Wii had that heartbeat sensor that was supposed to do the same thing. That was supposed to interact with the game, and look, we don't even hear about that anymore.
Mr. Tricky Mick, you have turned 40 years old today. It's time for your exam.
Yeah. You know, it's...
Hey, you get the proctologist to do that exam.
soon it'll be your system, brother.
Okay, Sony Computer Entertainment Worldwide Studios Europe Vice President Mick Hocken said that the cameras are capable of recording a player's biometric data and tracking where the player is looking. He elaborated on how Sony might be able to use this data. He says, quote, in 10 years' time, I'd like to think we'd be able to form a map of the player, combining other sorts of sensory data together from facial expressions to heart rate. It says maybe people in their social network could actually comment on it, too.
Didn't
Moonshiner just say that he watches porn on his system just a little while ago?
There's no way I want my PlayStation seeing.
Hey, y'all need to get Adam and Eve to sponsor.
I mean, this is getting ridiculous, guys.
It is.
Them watching us.
That's getting ridiculous. I mean, okay.
Nobody likes Big Brother.
Just to play devil's advocate, this might actually be something interesting to see how a player is reacting to a game. You know, like, hypothetically, let's say that Dead Space 2 had this kind of technology and could track when you got scared shitless in the game.
They think we're all a bunch of little bitches.
But wouldn't that be kind of interesting? So when they're going to develop Dead Space 3, they can say, okay, this is the part that really hooked them. Let's work more on this. That's where this technology could be interesting and useful.
It could be. It could be something like that. It could be that maybe they'll do research and see, you know, on what part of the game, you know, pretty much like what you said. Which part of the game that they're going to, you know, that we were the most interested in, that we were the most tense, that we were the most, you know, excited for. And they might try to emphasize on that. So
this kind of reminds me, I'm going to go ahead and go back to my 360 again. When I hooked up my Kinect and got that all situated, it asked me if it was okay for it to record random audio and random visual to send to Microsoft. It asked me that.
I hope you said no.
I said yes and flashed my penis. No, I said no, but yeah, I thought that was such an odd thing. It said it was to help development of the hardware is its explanation, but I don't understand why it needed audio and visual to do so.
Flashing your penis was going to help them with their hardware?
It's just a black screen. We can't see anything.
Maybe they can help develop their own Titanic wing.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, that's kind of in the line of the same deal where, yeah, I just thought that was extremely odd when it asked me that. Why does it need that? You know, that information. So I told it no, but I mean, who knows if the stuff is even being recorded, even though you told it not to.
All right. Let's move on to our next topic. We were talking about Twisted Metal before and how you had to wait a little longer. Well, David Jaffe has come out on the PlayStation blog announcing the official launch date for Twisted Metal.
And what a perfect day to do it on, too. When you're with your loved ones, when you're with the person that you care about the most, when you're, you know, all lovey-dovey, there's nothing more you want to do than just blow the shit out of each other up.
You know, it sounds like you quoted David Jaffe word for word on that.
Nope, that was on me, baby.
All right.
That's what I told her.
If you haven't gotten the clue yet, Twisted Metal is actually coming out on Valentine's Day.
See, Jaffe screws me both ways. It was originally going to come out October 4th, which is my wife's birthday. And now it's Valentine's Day. So no. Either way, I have to do my thing, rush her to bed, put the headphones on, and then just start killing shit.
Well, rush her to bed on Valentine's Day.
Well, David Jaffe said there's nothing more romantic than taking your wife out, having a nice romantic dinner, and coming home and killing the shit out of each other.
That'd be great if my wife played.
Yeah, see, I don't think my actually, my wife's into the dark kind of stuff, so she might actually sit there and watch it. She really liked Twisted Metal Black, the storylines. So this might actually benefit me.
All right, what about you, Hard Rock? What about your wife?
I don't know.
His brother and him are going to have a great day together.
No. My girlfriend actually.
I think that's legal in Texas now, isn't it?
It's legal in Shaolin where there ain't no sin, too.
Yeah, it's true.
Legal when they don't know.
Yeah, no. On that day, yeah, my girlfriend's probably going to be wondering, like, why are we having dinner at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? No reason. Just, you know, want to beat the rush. You know?
Yeah, got a long day at work tomorrow, hon.
Yeah, I got a long day at work, trust me. But it's Saturday. It doesn't matter. I got to go in.
In a story that boggles my mind, Resistance franchise is no longer going to be a part of Insomniac Studios. They're actually looking to move the series away from Insomniac and give it to another developer. This is not the first time Insomniac has done this. As they've done in the past, they gave Spyro the Dragon series away. They were quoted saying they're really into making Resistance 3 and are not currently slated to do a Resistance 4. This boggles my mind. Why would Insomniac Studios give up the Resistance series?
They want to do something else?
Because they want to move independently. They don't want to be just one system. They don't want to be almost a first-party game company anymore.
Okay, well, that's fine, but why give the name up? I mean, what if the next developer comes out and makes Resistance 4 and just blows the shit out of anything Insomniac's ever done?
They might as well give it up. I mean, after 3, they're nowhere near the sales of any Modern Warfare or Battlefield game. So why not move on? Go to fresher waters. Yeah, they've done 3 of them.
I don't know. I mean, this currently just leaves them with Ratchet and Clank and Overstrike. So, I mean,
yeah. Well, that's the point. That's the point that at least I'm trying to make is that to me it seems like Insomniac, they really love their independence. They love knowing the fact that they don't have to be a first party studio. So they're starting to move into more third party games, you know, with Overstrike, and you know, this giving up Resistance is probably just their way of saying as look. Here's, you know, we worked on the franchise. We've already, they're probably even thinking this. We pushed it already as far as we want to. Here's, you know, Sony owns the IP. They're going to give it off to somebody else and just let them run with it. And who knows? Maybe there could be another developer out there that make the Resistance game better than Insomniac.
All right, let's move on to our next topic. According to Emily Rose, who is known for Elena's voice in the Uncharted series.
She's hot.
Yes, she is.
She's attractive.
According to her, and I'll read the quote, it says, "The final season of Uncharted are definitely worth all the playtime and stuff that we wrapped up before I finished my last part of The Haven when I was back home." And literally, Nolan and I looked at each other and says, "Oh my gosh, are you kidding? That's amazing. I did not see that coming." According to Emily Rose, the ending to Uncharted 3, you will not see coming. There's a lot of speculation about this. Gentlemen, I leave it up to you to start the speculation.
Aliens.
Nathan Drake dies.
Oh, God.
Aliens.
God. No. Why would you do that?
Because
Hard Rock, really? God, he has to hit the sore spot out of anything.
Zombies would be cool.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, zombies. Awesome. Yes.
No, okay. Now, see, when I was reading this, what I first came to my mind was it's kind of like I'm going to have to compare it to Zelda, where, like, he's probably Drake. I feel he's, like, a reincarnation. God, I cannot explain this for the crap, but
you're kind of think of it kind of like the way like Link and Zelda are constantly like reincarnated over and over again. How every Zelda game is not the same Link and Zelda, but it's another one of their ancestors or somebody else that just happens to be. It's just them reincarnated over again.
Yeah, well, I mean, like they say, Zelda's the legendary hero of time, where he comes when he's needed. I just not quite as elaborate as that, but I think. Yeah, I think Drake is reincarnated from somebody. I just have a feeling that he's going to have something to do with him being reincarnated. And that's because the villain in this game is supposed to be 100 years old, right?
Something like that.
That just makes me think that when there's going to be something along the point where, because of how old she is, she's going to see Drake and know and be like, "I've seen you before, you know, like a long time ago."
Well, in the teaser trailer, she cuts off his necklace, saying, "I only want what's mine." So that when I saw that, I immediately speculated that the villain is actually Drake's mom.
Ooh, that's
I know what it is. I know exactly what the ending's going to be. And you can quote me on this.
Spoiler alert.
You can probably quote me on this. They're gonna kill Elena. Drake's gonna walk over to her dead body. He's gonna, you know, grip her, cry, and then he's gonna look up to the camera and go, "I'm Batman." And that's it. No, that's where it's gonna cut out.
No, that isn't what's gonna happen. She's gonna be lying there dead, and he's gonna ask her why she died, and they're gonna say she died of a broken heart.
Oh, geez.
And then he's going to go, "No."
He made the Darth Vader joke.
But no, that's what I want to go with. And I'm really interested when November comes, is I want to say he's reincarnated.
Oh, I thought you were going to agree with my Batman theory.
No, I think that the villain is going to turn out to be Drake's mom.
All right, I'm going to write this down.
Yep.
Well, we haven't recorded, so
Nathan Drake is Batman.
All right. So, Moonshiner, what's your speculation?
My speculation would be probably something along the lines of Drake dies. I mean, that'd be something you'd never see coming.
That would be that would be the easy thing for them to figure out. I mean, for them to do is just like, you want to be shocked, you know, for something like that is just like, oh, he dies.
The only thing I hope is that they don't end it in a way that they can't make an Uncharted 4.
That's why I don't think Drake will die, but I could be wrong there. Do you got a real guess there, Hard Rock?
A real guess?
I'm writing these down seriously because I would totally love to see who's right in November.
I don't know. You know, honestly, to tell the truth, besides the Batman thing, which of course I meant as a joke, I don't know. You know what? They're gonna do something where it's gonna. I don't know. You know, I'll say aliens. Like I said, they're gonna something where it's gonna be like that. It's gonna be like the ending to the last Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah, but interdimensional aliens aren't supposed to come until part four, 30 years later.
Yeah, that's true. No, honestly, as an honest guess, I'm gonna guess that it's gonna be like aliens or something like that, something weird.
Are you gonna? Hey, Tricky, are you gonna buy Subway so you can get full access?
Absolutely. To the multiplayer? Day one.
All right. Yeah.
You see
what? I just wanted to know.
All right, Hard Rock. I'm gonna let you talk about the next topic because, as everybody knows, I'm labeled as a Sony fanboy, which I'm not. I just speak the truth, and some people just can't take that.
Oh my God, dude! Oh, don't gosh. Even.
But so
you are a fan.
So, just for the record, I did not put this topic in the agenda. I'm not going to talk about it until after Hard Rock has fully explained it. So then I'll say my opinions. Hard Rock, please explain the next topic.
At Gamescom, Xbox Europe head Chris Lewis had spoken to Eurogamer and stated that they stated that the Microsoft policy is that titles must ship simultaneously on Xbox 360 or Xbox Live alongside other platforms or be exclusive to Microsoft for some period of time. Otherwise, the company may simply refuse to allow the content to be on their console. So,
just bullshit.
It is. I'm calling bullshit on too, because I could name titles that was on PSN before Live.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what he said.
I'm saying it's bullshit that Microsoft would have a policy like this.
Why?
Because they're outright saying, unless we get it first or we get it at the same time, we don't want it. And that's bullshit because all they're doing is hurting their customer base.
It's a lie.
It's a lie.
Okay. Scott Pilgrim came out damn near a month on PSN before it hit it Live. And Live still took it.
No. I'm not saying Microsoft, according to this thing, they're not saying they won't take it. But they have a policy that says if it doesn't come out first or at the same time as other consoles, we reserve the right to reject it. That is such bullshit.
Let them get happy in the same boots they got mad in, man. Fuck them and feed them fish eggs.
This may be a policy, but it may be a policy they don't even enforce. But right offhand, Scott Pilgrim is a perfect example of how that game showed up. I was going to say a month. Marvel vs. Capcom 2, didn't that appear on PSN before it went on Live? I believe that one came out a week before it did on Live.
But, you know, add into your point, because it was actually part of this article, so I'm not taking credit for coming up with this. The fact that they said they want all content to be at the same time, but they're talking about on disc content. That's why with LA Noir they were able to release that extra case, but that case wasn't on the disc. It was actually a downloadable thing.
It wasn't on the disc because it had to have been on like disc number 4.
But and also with Mortal Kombat launching, Sony got an exclusive character where Microsoft did not get, you know, an exclusive character to their game. So those are two situations where Microsoft did bend the rules. But if this is a legitimate policy within Microsoft, that is such bullshit. And I think all they're doing is hurting their customer base by being selfish. And selfish is the best word I can come up with. They're selfish.
They're trying to scare the smaller developers into doing them both at the same time.
That could be the only thing. Them scaring small developers.
Want to do that to a developer? Why would you want to scare any developer that's making a game for your system?
Because a small independent developer isn't going to get the sales like I guess I don't even know how big the developer was for Scott Pilgrim. But I think it is. It's more of a bullying technique for the little people, the big people who do the exclusive content. Like I said, Marvel vs. Capcom 2, I think Live knew that was going to sell, so they didn't mind taking a one-week hit on it. Scott Pilgrim, I want to say that was, for some reason, I want to say that was like almost a month before it hit Live. I think if it's a title they know is going to sell, they're going to bend the rules. But if it's some title that only sells a few copies on PS3, you know, they're not even going to waste their time on it. I mean, I have heard pretty, I have heard they have pretty strict rules about when you come to them and they approve your game, you have this set date to release the game. I want to say PSN is like, if you go to them and go, my game's ready, they're like, okay, it'll be on the soonest update. To where Live is, they only release so many titles every week. So even if your title's ready, it may not release on Live till 4 weeks later.
But I mean, Microsoft, you know, take the Xbox out of it. Look at PCs in the 90s when they were forcing everybody to take all their software on the PCs and how that wound up in court form. I mean, that's just how big corporations run things. They bully people around and they just want to make sure that they get the developers on their side and they think this is one way to do that.
Hard Rock, you've been kind of quiet about this. What's your opinions?
I don't know. I've just been listening to all the hate.
I mean,
dance puppets.
I mean, this a quote from Xbox Europe head Chris Lewis. He said, and I quote, "We're a little biased, so obviously we're going to look at to protect our own space as best as we can and get exclusivity. Whilst I can't be, I can't say that word. Pacific. Say that word for me."
We can't be specific.
Thank you. "About the terms and conditions, you can be very confident we seek to maximize our own advantage to ensure the playing field is even and certainly plays to our advantage whenever possible."
Honestly, in my opinion, I can see it a little bit because I tend to notice that there's a lot of games that come out first on Xbox Live, and maybe that's their little angle of what they want to do, because there's a lot of games that, you know, that never came out on the PSN. You know, or that took forever to come out on the PSN. You know, they came out on Xbox Live first. I mean, how many games have we heard? It was like, you know, Castle Crashers, Limbo, you know,
Braid
and everything like that. They came out a year ahead on Xbox Live first. You know, so there could be some truth to this. It could be just, this could just be their way of thinking, you know, about it. You know, maybe this is their way of trying to get exclusives. And yeah, of course, it might not be right, because why? Oh, they're screwing the developers and everything like that. But, you know, haven't you always heard about big corporations always screwing the little person?
We can talk about this for hours. So moving on to our next topic. Former executive president of publishing Robin Kaminsky of Activision has come out saying that the industry has stalled and that the PS4 and the Xbox 720 need to come out now. What do you think about this, guys?
Well, no. I guess for people who have money like she does, yeah.
I mean, her quote was, "For traditional games to grow, I believe a new generation of consoles is needed. Consoles with real innovation and resultant onslaught of new IP and innovative gameplay. Ideally, these consoles will bring breakthrough on how games are played and what kind of game experiences can be delivered. It cannot be just bigger and more complex games or yet better high-definition graphics. The industry, both traditional publishers and the console makers themselves, need something different in the next cycle. In an industry where new, innovative, and fun key... In an industry where new, innovative, and fun is key, there is no future more in of the same."
Yep. No, I don't think that we need new consoles anytime. Really don't. I mean, with the stuff that's happening now, I'm more than sure that they can just keep adding on to, you know, more games and other stuff to this. I mean, how much better can you get the graphics? I mean, the systems that we already have are already doing 3D and, you know, high definition and Blu-ray, all this other stuff and everything like that. You know what I mean?
Well, I agree with you on that aspect, because every time there was a new console out, you know, excluding Nintendo in this situation, every system, you know, one key thing was always better graphics. This system's able to produce a better picture. I don't see how they can make a better picture nowadays.
I mean, they can always improve on graphics and on sound design and all that. I don't need that. I don't need a PS4. impress me with better story, you know, impress me with more in-depth storytelling, and, you know, quit giving me the Call of Duty with 80 hours of single player and 6 hours of campaign. How about you give me 20 hours of campaign? You know, develop a character.
They don't even have a good 6 hour story mode.
That's my point. That's what I'm saying. They don't need the innovations in the gameplay. They don't need the innovations in the graphics. What they need now is an innovation in storytelling at the moment. And take this lull to do that.
I mean, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Titanic.
The only thing I can say is that Xbox and PS3, they need improvements in the opposite ways. PS3 needs improvements on networking. Xbox 360s, their network, how everything's integrated, in my opinion, since I bought one, is greatly higher than what the PS3 is. The amount of content and stuff, yes, you pay for it, but I can see why you pay for it. Now, back to the 360 side, their media storage, their discs, I mean, it's getting to the point on the 360 where major titles are coming on 2 or 3 discs now. That's where the 360 is lacking. It's just major storage. The PS3 is not lacking in graphics or storage. It's lacking on its networking and its ability, you know, just to contact with people. Both systems have their highs, but their lows are, you know, they're totally opposite.
Well, see, that says back from the episode we recorded, back when we recorded the episode with the Gamertag Radio crew.
Name drop.
Yes. Shameless plug, too. Mandy, who is Lady Luck, she said it and said something that I've always said. When it comes between the PS3 and the Xbox 360, you have to remember Sony is a hardware company where Microsoft is a software company. Sony's always going to make the better system where Microsoft is always going to have the better software on their system. And that proves exactly what you were just saying, Titanic. Microsoft has a better party chat. Their software is, you know, Sony can't hold a candle to them. And in the same aspect, Microsoft can't hold a candle to what Sony can do in hardware.
Yeah, to me, why is it so hard for them to hire people to know what they're doing? Yes, I realize one's a hardware and one's a software company, but why is it so hard for them? Why is it so hard for Sony to find software people? And why is it so hard for Xbox to find hardware people?
That's a very good question. I don't have a legit answer for you.
And to me, that just makes no sense. You think it'd just be, you know, putting out some headhunters to find these people.
I mean, and this is not a fanboy comment, but I mean, if Microsoft would have done exactly what you said and find people to make a better hardware system, Microsoft wouldn't have gone through that whole thing of the Red Rings of Death. I mean, I'm sure systems still would have failed, don't get me wrong, but it wouldn't have been the failure rate that they had. I think they were saying at one point their failure rate of 360s was up as high as like 75%.
I lost 3 in 18 months and never went back.
That's insane.
Yeah, see, I guess what I always saw was their highest failure rate was 34%, and then Sony's was around 17. But I was extremely high in that to where, in its whole life cycle, me personally, I've been through 4 PlayStation 3s. My first one died within a week after buying it. So, yeah, I had the luck of buying really crappy systems during that time. I see, to me, the failure rate thing, it's like, okay, well, I've been through it, you know, 5 times with the PlayStation. I've been through it once with the 360. So, to me, it didn't pay to be, you know, after a while, it just didn't pay to be all disgruntled.
Okay.
Over this, considering how many systems I had.
I do have to correct myself because I actually just Googled it because I want to make sure that I'm being accurate and not being fanboyish. As of a report on August 19th of 2009, the failure rate of the Xbox 360 was 54.2%.
Okay, so it's half.
Yeah, it's about half of what we said.
I've got a launch PS3, and then I have 3 other PS3s in my house. I haven't had one problem with any of them, knock on wood. I had 3 Xbox 360s in 18 months. Now, Microsoft replaced it every time at no cost to me. But eventually, I took the last one they sent me and just sold it.
Okay. Yeah, see, that's the deal. I mean, me personally, I've had the exact opposite experience you have. It's all being burnt by it's all being burnt. I mean, you'll talk to some. Okay, now you talk to me. I've had HP computers fail on me. Okay, so I switched to a Dell, which I know is put out by the same people. My Dell has sat here and lasted 7 years. It's just being burnt by a particular brand is all it is. And some people take that really personally.
All right. Just to say the failure rates, according to GameSpot, on September 2nd, 2009, the failure rates of the 360 was 54.2%, the PS3 was 10%, and the Wii was 2.7%.
That's because no one plays the Wii.
And this was a report analyzed on approximately 2,500 systems for the PS3 and 360 and 11,000 Wiis. And then all the systems were chosen at random.
So what's the, for the listener's sake, what is the failure rate on the current model I have, the slim model?
Okay, just choosing the first thing I popped up when I Googled it. Now, this is coming from Yahoo Answers, which we can say that's not the most reliable source of information.
Yeah, it's probably better you don't say it.
But according to the...
According to some random fool.
Yes.
Yeah, random fool who wanted to answer a question.
Well, this was chosen as the best answer by 12,000 people, so...
12,000 fools, but okay.
They said the failure rate of the current model Xbox 360 is 4%.
Okay. Now, see, the Red Ring of Death, was that mainly, if I remember right, that was mainly caused because of heat, right?
Right, overheating.
Yeah, because I'd remember hearing reports where it got so hot, actually, the boards were starting to bend inside.
Yes.
And that's why it would get to Red Ring, is the connections would be severed.
That's according to Wikipedia.
Okay. Wow. Okay, awesome. I was right about something, at least.
Well, yeah, okay. You updated that page, of course.
Yeah. Titanic Wang says they are awesome, yeah. I don't see any need for a new console, like we said. It's just they have their opposite ends where they're good and their opposite ends where they're bad at. That's the only improvement we need. It just seems like the games just keep looking better and better. Me personally, I'm not ready for another system for 3 years.
I don't want to see a new console until they can come out with something dramatic that makes the system better. All right, so gentlemen, let's move on to shout-outs. Let's start with Mr. Titanic Wang. Do you have any shout-outs?
Yes, I do. Like I do every time, I like to give my wife, Dr. G. Peds, a shout-out. I like to give Shitty Bang Bang a shout-out over Xbox Live, and he's ahead of me in achievements right now, but I'm just letting him know right now I am not afraid to hit the Hannah Montana nuclear launch button on Live again. I will play through that again. I'm not good afraid. Man. Good
man. Wait, you telling him he's a good man for wanting to play Hannah Montana?
Yep. No. I respect the fact that he's willing to take down any fool, just like me.
Yeah, he's 500 points ahead of me, and like I said, if he just passed me and didn't say a word about it, I wouldn't care. But the fact that he's like, I'm 400 points ahead of you, it just makes me,
just had to rub it in, huh?
I will do Hannah Montana again, I will do Terminator Salvation again.
Oh God, please don't do that. I just went through that experience.
But, yes, that's his shout-out that I'm coming for you.
All right, and Mr. Moonshiner?
I'd like to shout-out people who don't ask for shout-outs.
Good, man. That's awesome.
All right, and Hard Rock?
I want to give a shout-out to Mr. Moonshiner. It's about time he came back on the show. I also want to give a shout-out to Mr. Wang there. Thank you for coming on the show. It's been a while.
A week.
It's been a week. It's been a whole week.
Yeah, I'm a guy who has nothing to do, so.
You need to get back on the system so we can keep playing Modern Warfare.
Oh, that's fine with me. You need to get an Xbox so we do Left 4 Dead.
That is true. You need to get a PC so we can do Left 4 Dead.
Touche.
Yeah, that's pretty much about it.
All right. And I don't have any shout-outs this week.
All right. I actually want to give a shout-out to everybody who's going to PAX.
Yes.
Yeah.
You guys are lucky.
All right. So, guys, if there's nothing else, until next week, happy trophy hunting.
Limping. Lumping.
The cat's name is Annoying Customer.